Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price. I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. I want Him to be yours. He can be yours. In fact, He came to be yours if He isn't. Luke 19:10 tells us, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. What a beautiful day it is. Don't you think it'd be a great day for the Lord to come again if you're ready for His coming? If you're not, well, I'll tell you, you can get ready. You can get ready, but just simply realizing you're a sinner, repent of your sin by faith, receiving Christ as your Savior. The Word of God tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible said, if thou shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Well, I'm not preaching specifically a salvation message today, but the Lord has led me to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians, chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 1 for our consideration, and then I'll share the message with you that God has laid on my heart. Before I do that, David's going to sing one of my favorite songs. The title of it is Get Ready. Folks, if you're not ready, I encourage you to do that today. Again, trust Christ as your Savior. If you go to Him, He won't turn you away. If you call on Him, He'll answer. I'll be back in a moment, Galatians 3:1, for the message.
Get ready for the trumpet. Get ready for the sound. When Jesus calls us, we'll not be around. Now it could be tomorrow, but it could be today. So get ready for the trumpet when He calls us away.
Christ away, that which is purchased with His blood, that which is empowered by His Spirit, that which is entrusted with His Word. Hey, He's going to call the Church of Jesus Christ away. And I tell you, I want you to be a part of it. Oh, look, I love the church. Do you hear me? I mean to tell you, I love the church. Thank God. I love all there is about the church. I know, listen, we're not perfect. We got a perfect salvation. God's given us a perfect plan, but My, listen, today we're living in a strange time, are we not? We're living in a day when, and here's the text for the message, people are being bewitched. In the book of Galatians chapter 3, listen to what the Word of God says in verse 1. And Paul, listen. Now, Paul's done a phenomenal job with this book. I mean to tell you, listen, friend, he's been defending the gospel of the grace of God. He's been standing up against the Judaizers that says, listen, you've got to add something to your salvation by grace through faith. You've got to do some sort of work. And Paul deals specifically with circumcision according to the Old Testament. But today, it could be baptism, it could be church membership, it could be anything that's legal. But listen to what he said, all foolish Galatians. You know what Paul was saying? Hey, you bunch of idiots, almost Paul was saying. What happened to your wisdom? What happened to your knowledge? He said, have you lost your mind? In essence, that's what he is saying. He said, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Paul was saying, listen, who's bewitched you? Hey, what are you fascinated over? Who in the world has put their power over you, has cast a spell over you? And that's exactly what bewitched means. It means to have a spell cast over, to be fascinated about something, to be under the power of someone else's influence. And I'm persuaded, friend, in this Laodicean church age, in this last day of the church age, I'm persuaded we're seeing a lot of that. Oh, look, we're in a spiritual battle today. If you agree with that, say amen. Hey, if we're not, we should be. I believe we are. Thank God. According to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul said, now listen, brothers, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. He said, listen, if you're going to stand against anything, you've got to stand, he said, and tells us to put on the armor of God. Oh, I'll tell you, we need to be strong in the power of His might. And listen, we are in a spiritual battle. And let me say it again, if you're not, you should be. How the church Jesus purchased with His blood is expected, I believe, according to its history, according to the Word of God. I believe it's supposed to be militant. You say, what is that, preacher? Well, it's to be active in conflict. It's to be aggressive. It's being willing to fight it in support of a cause. And did not David say hallelujah when he went down there in the valley of Elah? I found the children of Israel cowered down, and the enemy's giant by the name of Goliath threatening them. David looked and said, is there not a cause? Yeah, there's a cause today. How blessed God, Christianity is being transformed. It's being made to be something that God never intended for it to be. But look, friend, look, we're in a battle. But today, churches, they've cowered to almost anyone and anything which has begun to call evil good, or that put darkness for light and light for darkness, and that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And as Isaiah said in 5:2 of the book that bears his name, woe unto them. Even a horse has sense enough to stop when its rider says, woe. Isn't that amazing? Ah, look, we're living in a day, are we not, where everything is trying to be changed. Just like Isaiah said, light for darkness, or darkness, excuse me, for light, or good for evil, or sweet for bitter. I'm telling you, friend, there needs to be God's people standing and proclaiming, thus saith the Lord. There needs to be people, how blessed God, that breaks the spell that the enemy has put and brought over the church. Listen, understand, we don't have to be mean. We don't have to be mean and ugly. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, Paul tells those folks down there at that church of Ephesus, he said, listen, we're to be speaking the truth in love. That's how we stand. We don't have to be mean. We don't have to be ugly in order to be militant. to be active in a conflict, to be active in a battle. Whoa, friend, what we need to do is speak the truth, and may I say, speak it. We must. If this world silences us, and they're trying to limit us, they're trying to take away, especially in this country that's built upon Christianity, where people like to believe it or not, and bless God, where it's built upon the freedom of religion, and where a bunch of what they would call today white supremacists, bless God, left England to come and forge and found a new nation. Hey, there wouldn't even be the United States of America if it wasn't for a bunch of men, and bless God, who wanted to worship God in spirit and in truth, according to the dictates of their own heart, according to the free will of man. I'm telling you, friend, we have been bewitched. We have been bewitched. We're seeing the church that bears our Lord's name transformed right before our eyes. We're seeing a clear manifestation, I believe, of the final phase of the church as far as it is on planet Earth before or when the Lord comes for His church. I'm telling you, I believe we're seeing the final phase of the church prior to the second coming of Christ. Now listen, friend, this manifestation that I'm talking about that we're seeing in this transformation, it's not just begun. It's not something that began to happen yesterday. I'm not trying to indicate or infer that I've just seen it or that you've just seen it. Oh, it's been around for a while. It's been formulating itself for decades, has it not? But I'll tell you what I believe we are doing in this present immediate time. We're seeing its last phase. We're seeing it, bless God, as it's been described in the book of the Revelation, chapter 3, verses 14 through 20, where Jesus said, John, you write to that church of the Laodiceans, that church that they think it's their own, that church of the people's choice, that church that the people rules, or where the people have rule over the church, and where, according to verse 20, how they've kicked me outside, they put me outside and shut the door. They've made it man-centered instead of Christ-centered. Oh, they began to worship the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Hey, John, write to them, folks. I'll tell you, I believe that's what we're seeing in this last day, when we're seeing the church transform, when we're seeing it so bewitched by so few. Isn't that amazing? In this pragmatic church age that I'll speak of in just a little bit, this emergent church age, bless God, that's driven by a purpose-driven ideology, and that thinks that anything works, bless God, must have the hand of God upon it. But I'll tell you what, something's happened. Bless God, and how's it happened? I'll tell you how I believe it's happened. People become foolish. Listen, the day we live in, we ought to be producing mental, spiritual giants. And we've got more divorce, and we've got more people that are foolish, unintelligent, biblically speaking, maybe as in any time in our life. And I'll tell you, there's been people that's been bewitched. You say, how are they being bewitched, preacher? Well, let's just start right at the foundation with the corrupt Bibles that have been produced. I mean to tell you, listen, friend, I'm going to tell you something. I'm an old King James man, thank God. I make no apologies for that. I'm happy to tell you that I pastor a church that's King James only. Do you hear me? I mean to tell you, bless God, we're not ashamed to declare that we believe the Word of God is the Word of God. We're not ashamed to tell you that we believe all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. We're not ashamed to tell you, bless God, that we believe that we've got a perfectly inspired and preserved Bible. And when I'm talking about that, I'm not just talking about, bless God, the original autographs, but I'm talking about this Bible that I hold in my hand today. This King James Bible, bless God, listen, that came through the power of God by the will of God in the time that that you read about in the church of the Philadelphian age. But I've got to go on. Look, friend, we're in a mess. We're in a mess. We've got a mess of corrupt Bible versions, and therefore we're in a mess because of it. And you say, why you say that, preacher? Well, I'm going to tell you something. There's got to be an authority. Everybody can't be right. Do you hear me? And there's only one authority, and it's thus saith the Lord. Can I ask you to look around and consider something? Are we better off in this world in the last almost 100 years now since people have been producing revised versions, NIV, not inspired versions, and all these other things, even a King James Bible, which is a queer Bible? I'm telling you, friend, listen, do you think we're actually better off in our nation, in our churches, in our homes, in our world? Well, if you are, you're plumb out of your mind. Do you hear me? I hate to sound mean, but I want to listen, draw you to reality. Bless God, since man has began to fiddle with and change and try to reproduce the Word of God that was already perfect, we find ourselves in a mess. We find ourselves in a mess in our homes, in our government, in our schools, and in our churches. I'm telling you, friend, listen, we've been bewitched. We've been bewitched when the Word of God warns us not to be. Listen, friend, everybody can't be right. Men cannot be right. Look, it worries me when good men, and I believe they're saved, say to their congregation, you just pick and choose whatever version of the Bible that suits you. Well, bless God, I believe that's dangerous, and I believe they've got something to fear when they stand before Jesus in the great white throne judgment. I'm not judging them, but I want to listen, challenge them to rethink what they're saying. Hey, listen, God's Word was produced to please Him and not man. And bless God, I'll tell you what, that's the way it'll always be. But I've got to go on for time's sake. We're being bewitched not only by corrupt Bibles, but by common compromise. Look, you know what's popular in the world today? Especially in the ecclesiastical world? Why, it's ecumenicalism. I mean, just go along in order to get along. Hey, don't go against anything. Don't cause the hair on a cat's back to raise up. Don't be militant. Don't sound the alarm. Forget about the cause. We can get together in the name of Jesus, but let's just leave the doctrine outside. Can I tell you, folks, when the church started at Pentecost, at least in its earthly form, I want you to know verse 42 still is in vogue today, where it said they continued in the apostles' doctrine. I'm going to tell you something, sir, ma'am. If you lay down your doctrine, you don't have anything to stand on. Don't have anything to build on. Don't have anything to proclaim. You can get together on a lot of things. Bless God, listen. But if you lay your doctrine down, if you compromise on your doctrine, I'm telling you, don't have anything to get along about or get together on. And yet that's what a lot of people in this pragmatic, emergent church age wants. That's what the promise keepers wants. That's what the ecumenical movement was. This World Council of Churches, this National Council of Churches. They say, look, let's get together and come together on things that we can agree on. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Listen, friend, the gospel divides. Do you hear me? Jesus said He didn't come to bring, bless God, peace, but a sword. A believer's not supposed to yoke up with anything and everything coming and going. Do you realize that? In the book of Romans chapter 16, listen to what verse 17 said. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. I'm telling you, friend, we're not supposed to yoke up with everything. We're to separate ourselves. We're to come out from among us. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and Son. And if there come any unto you, bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Second, John said, I'm telling you, people are being bewitched. They're not being bewitched only by corrupt Bibles, a common compromise, but by convenient Christianity. Oh, that's what pragmatic is it not? That's what the emergent church is all about. It's the Laodicean church manifest. Its philosophy in our day is everywhere. I mean to tell you, they say, come as you are and leave as you were. I mean to tell you, in this day, when like in the book of Judges 17 and 6, and in 21 and 25 of the same book, every man did what was right in their own eyes. If you want to read a chapter that's amazingly, bless God, familiar with the day and the hour that we live in, read Judges 17 and see what Micah did. I'm telling you, friend, listen, everybody may be doing what's right in their own eyes, but can I tell you, experience must be tested by the Word of God. The Word of God is not to be tested by experience. And I don't care the numbers you have. I don't care, quote, the success, unquote, you think you're seeing. Bless God, if you got there the wrong way, then you're at the wrong place, doing the wrong thing. Intentions may be good, but I'm telling you what, friend, we're in a mess. When we abandon God's Word, when we abandon the clear truth that is in God's Word, I'll tell you what, the results doesn't matter. Do you hear? I'm telling you, true worship is about God. It's for His glory. It's after we follow His will. It doesn't speak of entertainment. It's not about having an increased self-esteem when you leave. It's not about that feeling good thing. It's not about, bless God, some type of a band-aid religion. But I'll tell you, friend, we're living in a day when people don't want to give anything to God, no sacrifice. And David said in 2 Samuel 24:24, 1 Chronicles 21:24, I'll offer nothing to God. It didn't cost me anything. I'll tell you, bless God, we're being bewitched. We're being bewitched, not by only by corrupt Bibles, not only by common compromise, not only by convenient Christianity, but by, listen now, by implementing current trends. Do you know what the Word of God tells us in Hebrews chapter 24, or chapter 10, verse 24 and 25? He said we're to provoke one another to love, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Now tell me something. Tell me something. I bless God. You listen to that verse. You turn over there and read those two verses. And I want to ask you something. What are we witnessing today? And does that agree with that? I mean, what's going in our churches? They're calling off Wednesday night prayer meeting and Bible study. I mean to tell you, at every place in Sunday evening worship with cell groups, that like something. How that goes on in a jail, doesn't, and they want to change the image of everything. That, listen what Rick Warren says, and I'm quoting him. Hey, they said, now listen, here's what we got to do. If we're going to be successful as an emergent pragmatic church, we got to get rid of coats and ties. We got to stop preaching the King James Bible. It's controversial. We must bring a segment of entertainment into our services. And we need to stop preaching. Bless God and begin sharing for 15 minutes. Hey, listen, the 50s form of preaching won't work in our day. Well, can I tell you what the Word of God said in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2? Bless God, preach the Word. You know what He said in 2 Timothy 3:14, continuing the things that thou hast learned. Hey, in the book of Jude, he said, we are earnestly contend. I contend for the faith. There's a cause. We ought to be combative. We ought to be militant. We ought to take our stand. Bless God, listen. Look, all of that stuff that Warren says, listen, brings danger. They want to bring in dancers. They want to bring in dialogue. They want to dilute the message of salvation. salvation. They want to dilute the message of personal holiness, a Christ-likeness, a separation, and some of the other great doctrinal truths. Bless God that the Word of God proclaims and records and purports. Hey, they want to do it to the point that men, that they mean, listen, bless God, nothing. Look, to the point that that nothing is demanded, and therefore nothing changes. I'll tell you, bless God, we're being bewitched today. Not everybody is. Not everybody is, but too many are. Don't be foolish. Do you hear me? Hey, it's high time, Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 13, verse 11, to awake out of sleep. Paul said to the church of Thessalonica in the 5th chapter of the 1st epistle, hey, we're not of the darkness, but we're of the day. Hey, listen, I hope you get stirred up. We're being bewitched because we're foolish. We ought to know more about the Word of God, as I said earlier, in a different way in this message than ever before, but we're more ignorant, it seems to me. We want what's placating. We want what's pacifying. We want what's pleasing to the flesh. But bless God, listen, we ought to seek to please Him. And that's what happened to Enoch. He pleased the Lord, and bless God, he was not, for God took him. Hey, I'm telling you, let's repent. Let's examine ourselves. Let's do what what Jesus told the church of Ephesus to do. Remember, repent and redo your first works. Oh, I'll tell you, friend, we're in a mess. There's a reason why. We don't have long to do something about it. But if we're going to, we better start today. We're being bewitched, friend. Others may be, but can I beg you, can I plead with you, exhort you, don't you, by the grace of God, be one of them until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.